It's great to give thanks to the Lord. And some of you will know that's based on a psalm in the Bible, Psalm 136, which I may remember to talk about in a minute. But first, this is what we're going to talk about just for a few minutes now, Harvest Festival, and what it's all about from the Bible's point of view. I've got these 3 points for you to think about: enjoy, everyone, and exalt. And they all come from the verses that I read to you before. But first of all, just to say, in case you didn't notice, there's 2 harvest festivals in the Bible. And if you had your Bible open or look at it later, certainly in my Good News Bible, it's got in Deuteronomy 16, it's got a whole paragraph about the festival, a harvest festival, and then the festival of shelters. And the way it works is that, if I read verse 9, just a little bit earlier than from what I read, it says, count 7 weeks from the time that you begin to harvest the corn, and then celebrate the harvest festival. So it's almost as if the harvest is so important to the Israelites, they have 2. So after they've got going with beginning the harvest, it takes so long to get all the harvest sorted out, they have a first one, like a sort of part one harvest festival. And that's what we now celebrate as Pentecost. It's sometimes known as the Feast of Weeks. Count 7 weeks or 50 days. Pente, 5. I don't know if anybody knows that, but anyway, so I understand. Pente means 5 or 50, Pentecost, and that's what we celebrate as Pentecost, so that's quite early. So not many people have harvested in this country by Pentecost, or maybe, I don't know, a bit of hay perhaps, something like that maybe, I don't know. But our real harvest comes, that's why I'm focusing this morning on harvest, this festival of shelters, because it says then, after you have threshed all of your corn and pressed all your grapes, I hope you've all pressed all your grapes now, by now. And after you've threshed all your corn and pressed all your grapes, so it's all done, then celebrate the Festival of Shelters for 7 days. And the Festival of Shelters, sometimes known as the Festival of Tabernacles or of Booths, it reminded me, press the button please, Luke, of something that some people here will be very familiar with: survival shelters at Lager. And this survival shelter was so amazing that they made that they even slept in it. So press the button again, please, Luke. And there they are. This is early in the morning, about 6:30 in the morning. They had slept in the survival shelter. So you might have seen on the video, there was some really kind leaders just testing the shelters by pouring water over, just to check it was working, you know. Most of those children didn't sleep in their shelters. They did have their lunch. And there was one day, I've got a photograph of it somewhere, when it absolutely sheeted down with rain exactly at lunchtime. And we don't let the children who are on survival come back in the barn. They have to survive. Anybody ever? Have you had your lunch in the rain? No? No? Oh, you've been lucky. No. Some children have. So they have to stay under their survival shelter and make them work. So this one's made such a good survival shelter, they stayed there overnight, but not 7 days. So those of you who know about survival shelters at Lager, just imagine you lived in it for 7 days. All right, I know Israel's a bit of a better climate than we have, a bit warmer and everything, but just imagine that's what it was. And that's what happened. And the really good thing about, you might ask, why would they do that? Why would God make them do that? Well, it was to help them remember. And a lot of things in the Bible help them remember what God has done. That's one reason I love Harvest Festival, because it makes us remember and helps us to think. We could easily go past, especially now that we get our food mostly from shops, Tesco's, other supermarkets are available. And, you know, we don't tend to, one or two exceptions, we don't tend to harvest our own food. We tend to buy it in. So it's easy for us to forget about the way that God actually ultimately supplies all of our food. And so it's a good time to have a harvest festival and remind ourselves of that. And the Israelites were asked to do many different things to help remind themselves. And this harvest festival, where they lived in shelters, reminded them that they, for 40 years, had been going through the desert. And they lived in tents or shelters all the time. And so every year they had 7 days to remind themselves. And that made me think, it's really good to have traditions, both as a church, but as families and individuals. And the certain things that we always have in our family as traditions, and it's really good to try and continue that. You might, I suppose Christmas is a time when we're really great for traditions, but we try all stuff, Easter traditions and other traditions through the year as well. And that's why I love festivals. And God made the festivals for us to enjoy. And it actually says it here in my version of the Bible, the second verse we read. It says, enjoy it with your children. Let me start from verse 4 to 13 again. After you have threshed all of your corn and pressed all your grapes, celebrate the festival of shelters for 7 days. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And it makes me ask the question, do we enjoy festivals? Do we even enjoy church? Am I allowed to ask that? And it's a good thing to ask all different ages. Because I want to ask the question, if we don't enjoy it, whose fault is it? Is it God's fault? Or is it our fault? You know, if there are things that we don't enjoy that we do in church, maybe we ought still to do them. I'm not saying everything has to be absolute ultimate pleasure, but if there are things we don't enjoy, maybe we ought to check with each other at times. Maybe we ought to ask some of the children, young people, do you enjoy this thing that you're doing? Do you enjoy being part of church? Because lots of people won't come if they don't enjoy it, at least if not part of it's enjoyable. Like I say, we sometimes need to do things which aren't enjoyable all the time. And then it reminded me, when I was younger, we had a way of learning about our faith that was called a catechism. And it was a sort of question and answer thing. I wasn't very good at it, I'm afraid. But I do remember the first one is, what is man's chief aim? Or what are man and women's chief aim in life? What are we here for? What's our purpose? And the answer is, and I'm sorry I can't remember it word for word, someone will probably put me right later. Man's chief aim in life, or man's chief purpose, is to worship God and enjoy him forever. See how the two go together? Worship and enjoy. And I sometimes think we don't always enjoy worship in different situations. And obviously we can worship in lots of different places, but a primary place we worship is when we're in church with God. So I wonder if we enjoy being together. And they were told they had to enjoy doing the harvest festival. They gathered the harvest with joy, the Psalms tells us in one picture there, and then we're thinking about the food, and no doubt they had lots of food at their harvest festival, or their festival of shelters. They gave gifts to God, but no doubt they gave gifts to each other, and they ate together and had 7 days off. 7 days holiday. Sounds good to me. But it says enjoy it. And as I was thinking about the wonderful world and harvest, and I was thinking, how could we enjoy that a bit? I remembered this. Which I enjoy anyway. I've seen trees are green, rivers of steel. I've seen you, following you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. I hope you enjoyed that as well as I did. But it reminds us of a wonderful world we live in, and so many good things that God has given us to enjoy. So that's my first E. Second E coming up. Here it is. And it's in that same verse that says, enjoy. Let me read it to you again. After you have threshed all your corn and pressed all your grapes, celebrate the festival of shelters for 7 days. Enjoy it with your children, your servants, the Levites, the foreigners, orphans, widows who live in your towns. Everyone. Now, in Israel's day, there were certain things which could only be done by the Jews themselves. There were other things that could only be done by men. And so they had the different courts in the temple. You've probably heard of that, and you know this is the court of the Gentiles. So anybody could go there, but not anybody could go to the next bit. And then there'll be a bit which only the priests could go to. So quite a few things could only be done by certain groups of people in the Old Testament days. And what I think is lovely about the Festival of Shelter is it's for everyone. So it's for children. Welcome, children. It's for servants. Any servants here? Perhaps we're all servants in one way or another. Levites, that's okay. If you are those special people serving God, that's okay. Foreigners, any foreigners here, you are welcome. Any orphans, any widows, you know, everybody is welcome. That's what it's about. And that's what I love about this. And that verse reminds me of that verse, how wonderful for God's people to live together in harmony. And that we're meant to enjoy it. And so it reminds me of a story, because it's also a challenge to me when God says we must enjoy these things with everybody all together. It reminds me of a story of a quite sedate parish church, respectable, shall we say, parish church. And they were all sitting there and waiting for the service to begin, or maybe the service had actually already begun. And in came a beggar from the streets. I think it's quite appropriate when we're thinking of City Mission. You know, somebody came in who was normally on the streets, and he walked right the way down through the aisle of this respectable and traditional Anglican church, and he sat on the floor. His clothes were a bit tatty, probably a bit smelly, didn't have any shoes on, you know, and he sat on the floor at the front, and nobody knew what to do. What do we do with this? I don't know how you'd feel if that happened. He didn't sit on any of the pews or any of the chairs or anything like that. And then, before anyone else could do anything, an old fellow came up from the back, one of the church wardens, you know, one of the sort of significant people in that church. And he came down, and an old elderly gentleman, and he walked down, and the people think, oh no, what's he going to do? Is he going to turf him out, or is he going to tell him off for coming down and coming to church in smelly clothes and that? What's he going to do? And they're all quite nervous like that. And he approached the fella, and he got down on the floor and sat next to him and took his shoes and socks off. Imagine the impact that would have on the church. You know, that was his way of saying, it's fine. That's where you want to be. I'll be there with you. It's for everyone. Do you get the idea? You know, and so I challenge you and I challenge myself. How would we be if somebody like that came into our church? And it reminds me of those verses in James, James chapter 2, where it says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, we must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Suppose a rich man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes to your meetings, and a poor man in ragged clothes also comes. If you show more respect to the well-dressed man and say to him, have the best seat here, but say to the poor man, stand over there or sit at my feet, then you're guilty of creating distinctions among yourselves and of making judgments based on evil motives. James states it really clearly. We need to be welcoming everyone. And even more so, since our Lord Jesus Christ has come, in the days we're talking about, in the Deuteronomy, that was the Old Testament story, things have changed completely. In those days, only the priests could really approach God in the temple. First of all, the tent, the tabernacle, and then in the temple. But now, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can all have access to the most holy places of God. And nobody is excluded from that. It is truly for everyone. Everything about God is for everyone. So we need to be careful that we include everyone as much as possible in our enjoyment. And then my third, so it's enjoy everyone and exult. Well, that comes from this bit here where it says, after it says enjoy it with your children, your servants, your Levites, foreigners and orphans, widows who live in your towns, it says honour the Lord your God. How are we to do that? By celebrating this festival for 7 days at the one place of worship. Be joyful, there it is again, enjoy. Be joyful because the Lord has blessed your harvest and your work. So God gives us a reason for being joyful, why we should enjoy it. The Lord has blessed your harvest. I like the fact it says, and your work, you know. We don't all harvest around the place here. but we all do some sort of work. Even if you're retired, I think you'll admit that you still have some work to do around the place. It might not be paid employment in quite the same way, but I know if you've got grandchildren, you'll be doing some work. Oh, I can see somebody nodding over there, yes. But if you've got a house to look after, you'll do some work. If you've got, you know, we all do different sorts of work. And if God has blessed our work and our harvest, then we should be joyful and we should be honouring the Lord and celebrating together. So part of that will be worshipping him in services like this. But part of it also will be with our lives. And the verse goes on to say, the next verse, it says, all the men of the nation that come to worship the Lord three times a year at the one place of worship for Passover, Harvest Festival, and the Festival of Shelter. Again, the repeat of two harvest festivals. Each person is to bring a gift as they are able in all proportion to the blessing that the Lord your God has given them. So we're to bring gifts, and we've done that today. And it's good that we bring gifts to honour God as part of the way we exalt him. And we can bring gifts of financial value, we can give food gifts, but we can also give the gifts of ourselves. And that can be our time, that can be our energy, that can be, to double the word up, the gifts that God has given us. The talents, if you like. I was helping to lead a growing leaders course yesterday, and we distinguished between talents, knowledge and skills. And the difference is that talents are what you're born with and what God has given you natively or naturally. Knowledge, you can read books to get knowledge. Skills, you can be taught. So some people think I have a musical talent. But that doesn't mean to say if I pick up a violin and play it now, it will be very nice for you. Because I have never been taught the skill of playing the violin. Some people are kind enough to say I have the skill of playing the trumpet and the guitar. But I've learnt those. Do you see the difference? So you may have a talent that is naturally given to you by God, and I believe that God will want you to use that talent and that you would exalt him when you bring that gift back to him and use it for his work in some way. Use it to honour him and to bless him. And so hopefully you can see that we exalt God not just by coming to Harvest Festival, not just by worshipping him and singing songs to him, but in our everyday lives. And if you have a gift which is a gift of hospitality, if you have a gift of being kind to people, if you have a gift of listening, if you have a gift of noticing when people need some help. Most of those I do know are listed somewhere in the Bible. And I think God wants us to use them. And by doing so, we will honour him. So I hope that you enjoy Harvest Festival. I hope that we can include everybody in it. And I hope that's part of it. We exalt and honour the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a minute or two before we sing our last hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that helps us to know what we should do in our lives and what we should do at different times of the year. And I thank you, Lord, especially that you've reminded us in the word of God, in your word, the Bible, about harvest and celebrating these festivals. That it's a tradition that helps us to remember all the great and good things that you've done for us. Right throughout the years. And we thank you again that you provide so much for us. We thank you for the gifts you give us. Both the food, the money and our talents that you have given to us. And we pray you'd help us to give back to you money as we have done. Food as we have done. And also with our talents and our abilities. May we honour and exalt you in the way we live our lives as well as the way we are here on Sunday in church. So please speak into our hearts and remind us of anything that you want us to take away from here that would make us more like you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And our final hymn reminds us of how God is really great and faithful. Press the button and the words will come up on the screen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Every year we get all different things come around again and again. God doesn't change. He is still compassionate and loving and kind to us. When we conclude this, the words of the message, the grace in the message version will appear on the screen, and we'll conclude our service by saying those words together. So please let's stand and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness together.
Shadow of turning
The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us in worship this morning. If I have anything I've said you'd like to discuss with me or to pray with me, that would be fine. Thank you.